Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Ramble. It's lovely to have you back. And James or Jim is here.
Hello.
Luke's here.
All right, how you doing?
And I'm Marcus. And Pete's not here.
No, it's a shame.
Isn't it?
Well. Yeah,
he's gone on holiday.
Damn him.
To San Francisco.
Fancy.
Yeah, not too bad.
Isn't it just? Right, let's crack on with proceedings.
Without him.
Well, we're going to have to.
We haven't told him.
We're going to have to be brave.
We're in his house.
That's true, yeah.
We're going to have to be brave. Right then, on the weekend, Ryan Giggs popped up at left back for Manchester United in the second half against West Ham. Lovely to see.
I think it was a decision Alex Ferguson made. I don't think he just sort of popped up there of his own accord.
Ah, suggesting it's tactical, eh? Right, well, give another example of when a player played out of position.
You're looking at me, so I'm going to go first. Matteo Flamini, when he was at Arsenal, during the Champions League run to the final in 2006, for a big chunk of the actual run, because Ashley Cole was injured a lot that season, Flamini played at left back. You know, I think he's naturally right footed, and he was just brilliant there. It's absolutely just rock solid.
He was a revelation. I can remember him wasn't he derided, but he wasn't particularly highly rated up.
No, he wasn't. He was very much as just a bit part player.
And it was only the season before he left Arsenal that he really came on leaps and bounds, wasn't
it? Before that season, there was talk he was going to be sold to Birmingham, and that Abu Diaby would be taking that sort of spot in the midfield, but he got an injury.
And he would never have been able to go on and play for Milan and murk Spurs players.
Indeed, yeah, no, but I mean, also, Aboué came through that season, and Philippe Senderos as well looked really, really good in the Champions League run. It's just bizarre how these things pan out, isn't it?
Yeah.
Flippin' Nora. Vladimir Smith has scored in the Champions League
Indeed.
Final as well.
Jimmy Traore's got a winner's medal.
If we look at the squad that Liverpool had when they won it, there's no reason to suggest that Spurs can't win this season.
If you look at that Liverpool team compared to that Milan team in the final, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Absolutely ridiculous. Well, so going back to Flamini, it reminds me of the Owen Hargreaves syndrome. Mm. When Owen Hargreaves used to play fullback for England sometimes.
Yeah.
And he used to get criticised. I should say, by the way, listeners, I'm a bit bunged up.
I am as well.
Because it's hay fever season for me.
I'm just ill. Don't mean to be dramatic, as men often are, but I'm pretty sure it's influenza. So I'll be dead by morning, I would think.
Hay fever season, very early, but I mean, I get a bit of the old hay fever.
Well, get it out of the way.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so your face is covered in hay.
That's very true.
It's going to be difficult with such a condition.
That's my tip for getting over hay fever. Get some of the local hay and stick it to your face.
There you go. Luke, your answer to the
I forgot what the question was now.
The player out of position.
Best player with hay fever or something. I'm going to have to go for a slightly different angle to James. It was very sensible answer. I'm going to go for 2005,
yes.
I believe it was, when Stuart Pearce was managing Manchester City, and he stuck Big Jane up front.
he had a shirt made up, didn't he, as well? It was clearly something he was planning to do.
Yeah. I think City needed to win to get into the UEFA Cup, didn't they?
And
Big Jane was in the mix against Middlesbrough, it was, when the free kick came over. And I think he'd like to take a bit of credit for Frank Kedru handballing it for a penalty. But Fowler missed the penalty anyway.
Yeah, it was the last minute of the season.
Yeah, David James was... he's not an outfield player, is he? It was clear to see. I often wonder sort of how many goalkeepers could make it in another position.
Well, we've said before,
James is one of them.
Pepe Reina, apparently. But you know that...
I'm glad you mentioned David James. We got an email from a local Chris, didn't we, Luke?
Oh, God, here we go.
Apparently,
forgot about this.
Apparently David James did train as a quarterback for the American footballers.
You don't know
the American footballers. Where are they based?
If you don't know,
they're in Canada.
Miami
Dolphins.
Thank you very much. Better. If we can get back to reality for a minute.
Apology accepted.
Basically, I think looking back on it with hindsight, Manchester City would prefer to have not qualified for the UEFA Cup, given that now it means David James is never going to play up front again. Imagine if he scored. It could only be bad. Didn't have John Macken on the bench or something as well. So
John McEnroe?
John McEnroe. Okay. They had a strike on the bench at the time as well.
Yeah, unbelievable.
And yet believable.
So mine's David Jones.
What about... Okay, it's not... I was about to jump on the bandwagon with that one, but it's hardly the same. But when Robert Huth was put up front for Chelsea in the semi-final against Liverpool of the Champions League, when Mourinho couldn't get through because Jamie Carragher and his merry men had just formed this impenetrable wall. Yeah. And he was just like... Robin can't get round about big man. Yeah. Hit the big man.
What player in this squad would they probably know nothing about? Robert Huth. I'm surprised he didn't put himself on.
I'm going to go going on the goalkeeper thing. Vinnie Jones, when he played in goal for Wimbledon away at Newcastle. That was because of a sending off, though.
Yeah,
but he was still played out of position.
Indeed. Well,
Dean Windass, that Vinnie Jones wasn't being sent off.
He made a lovely he did that one of those saves where only an outfield player really does with his feet, when a goalkeeper would have easily gone with his hands and caught it. And
it's just blind panic, isn't it?
Oh, just throw a bit of me at it. he tipped the ball onto the post with his toes, and it was glorious to see. James or Jimmy, you've got the points.
Oh, good, thank you. That's nice.
What would Pete have gone
for? It's a victory for sense.
That's true, actually. What would Pete have gone for? Like, you know, like when Les Ferdinand played centre back for us.
I think he would say when Les Ferdinand got me in the missionary position. That's what he would say.
That's not out of position, though.
That's true, yeah.
It's familiar.
It is for
I
Pete.
I would imagine.
Yeah, very much so. Right, well, let's move on to West Ham versus Manchester United. It was 2-0 at half-time to West Ham.
It was.
You must have been enjoying it then, James.
I was enjoying it, yeah. It was.
So was Di Canio.
He was there. Lovely to see him there, getting involved in the chants with his shades on.
I still thought United would win. You know what I mean? Like, everyone's saying how rubbish they are, but they have. It's not the first time they've turned it around from being...
Well, West Ham United versus Manchester United, it's a safe bet.
Yeah, it's
with United winning.
Well, yes.
But West Ham have been in decent form, haven't they?
Yeah, no, but it's just Man United have done that a couple of times this season. They were 2-0 down against Blackpool at one point, weren't they? I thought, they're still going to win this.
I'll stick my neck out and say that means they're definitely going to win the Premier League.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But I think that's been the case for a long time. I think, you know, Arsenal were the nearest contenders at the moment, and they can't win when they're 4-0 up. They're not definitely going to win. It's 4-0 up.
Which is a 6-goal difference to United being 2-0 down. After, is that how it works?
It is on this show. Should Vidic have been sent off?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Categorically, yes. Twice, really. It was lucky in the second half not to be booked for a second time as well.
Well, even Ferguson said that they got a lucky break with the second booking. Now, if Ferguson says then my giddy aunt.
Yeah, it's staggering. But
that changes everything. Oh, man, obviously it does. But
Mark Noble's penalties were both really well taken.
Well, the second one was a beauty.
Yeah, yeah. Absolute rocket, wasn't it?
But in a weird way, I always think, if you know what I mean, when you've taken a penalty and you've scored it, and you get another penalty, and you've got to take it yourself again.
Yeah.
I always think it would be harder because there'd be a lot of mind games going.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Because the goalkeeper, the pressure's always on the taker. So it would be like, which way am I going to go? Is he going to guess right? Is he going to go the same way? You know, all that sort of stuff. But he absolutely roofed it, didn't he?
Yeah,
so there's
he
no chance the keeper's going to save it.
But with Rooney's penalty, apparently him and Robert Green had been... Well, Rooney, amongst a few other England players, had been practising them all week for England. And he'd been practising putting it in that spot.
Yeah.
And he said he thought Green would think, oh, he's going to put it in the other corner.
Yeah.
So it's a double bluff.
So it was a double bluff.
It's hugely psychological, isn't it?
The he didn't seem that bothered by the whole affair, though, really, when he scored that goal.
No, he was
he swore at you.
Collected. He did swear at me.
He swore at me.
He swore at all of us.
Did he swear at me as well?
Upsetting.
If you were watching,
I was
did.
Feeling left out a bit there. One thing about, if I scored a hat-trick in the Premier League, I'd be bloody pleased.
Yeah. I don't know why he's so angry.
He is angry.
Just absolutely furious. This sort of pink throbbing mess just screaming into
There's
the camera.
Now.
But anyway, back to Rooney. But you you wrote your blog on this, didn't you?
I did write my blog on it. So go over to thefootballramble.com and have a look at it.
The blog roundup's later on.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know why he's thrown to it.
Why have you done that? You put the running order.
Because I can.
I think that.
And also, a big point of the blog as well is that I don't mention that it is actually that. You're meant to work that out from the implication. So well done, Marcus.
Yeah.
Double
next
rubbish.
Week is we'll put everything we talk about on the show on the website, so we're at the podcast. I was going to say that there's talk now that the cameraman may have goaded Rooney.
Really?
Because apparently... You heard about this, didn't you?
Yeah, Gabriel Clark was saying it.
Yeah, so basically, when Mark Noble scored, he kissed the camera.
Yeah.
Right? And there's suggestions that the Steadicam guy, who's right by the sidelines, tries to encourage the players into a reaction to make it better for television. And because Mark Noble kissed the camera, then there's a suggestion that the cameraman may have tried to get Rooney to do something, and there's a bit of a misunderstanding, and that's when Rooney went off. I'm not excusing Rooney swearing or his reaction or anything. I'm just maybe offering an explanation.
The camera itself was against that, though.
Yeah.
Well, didn't want to be kissed by Rooney.
It's not really sentient, mate, so it's not
doesn't matter.
It's not going to know either way.
It's crazy because Rooney's obviously, I'm pretty sure he should have really been charged for how he reacted in during the World Cup. So, and the news that he's been banned for two games now.
Mm. It's just boneheaded on his part, games, isn't it?
Yeah, he can appeal, but it's two game banned so far, yeah.
It's just a man is just unable to learn from his mistakes. It's just whatever he does, however badly he gets burned, he just does the same things again.
Yeah.
It's truly...
You almost do... I mean, I do find myself wanting to defend him. I'm a bit of a contrarian. I do sort of think, well, why is everyone saying this?
And it's nothing. It's just a stupid little thing. You see players swearing all the time.
But right down the camera, though...
I know, it's stupid, but it's nothing, essentially.
Hmm. It detracted from the game, which is annoying, because it was a great game.
Yeah, great hat-trick.
It was a great game.
And wasn't a penalty as well, worth pointing out.
You don't think so, no?
No, his arms were down. There's nothing he could do about
that.
Yeah,
I didn't think it was.
The other thing I would like to say about it is that, you know, the amount of sort of sanctimony about how he's reacted, how he behaved, by a lot of the newspapers who... I've sat in press boxes before, and I've heard, you know, rum old language. You know what I mean? And they're working, and they're at a place of work, and they'll do it.
And so they make up stories for a living sometimes, which is far more reprehensible. Yeah, but
which we'd never do on the Football Ramble.
But they're not being watched, are they? I mean, it would be a bit like in...
Yeah, it's different. It's like someone swearing on live TV, isn't it? Yeah, well, it literally is that.
Yeah.
Did you record the game?
Yeah. Just talking about the game again for a second. It was great to see Valencia.
It was.
And he contributed massively, didn't he, to Rooney's second goal. And obviously...
Well, we said look, Rooney's having a poor season. It's something to do with Valencia being out. And now Valencia's back, Rooney's all of a sudden scoring again. He's a great player, but he's really underrated.
Yeah. Well, I mean, two of them are set pieces, but I take your
point. You know what I mean, though?
Did he feed him in for the second one?
Do you remember he had that really impressive run of scoring loads of headers? And a lot of those were a result of Valencia's delivery.
Yeah, very much. Three brilliant points, as we said before.
Chicharito got a goal as well.
Yeah.
Nice. I like him a lot.
Set up from gigs.
How good has he been this season?
I know.
It's getting towards the end of the season now, and if he carries on the way he's been going, one of the best debuts he's seen for ages.
Yeah,
for a player of that age as well, coming from a completely different continent as well. You know, it's
definitely
amazing.
But he's been used well by Ferguson, I think. He's not just chucked him in there. He's, I suppose... got him used to the league.
But Ferguson said he didn't expect that he'd play as much as he has done.
No.
You know, and
but he's given him a headache, isn't he?
Absolutely. And a nice headache, Jim, as they say.
Indeed.
Yeah. I'd like to see Michael Owen move.
I've never had a nice headache.
I genuinely keep forgetting Michael Owen's even there.
Yeah. He's on Twitter now, piping up. He was talking about getting back in the England squad on Twitter the other day.
Yeah, he was joking, though, isn't he?
He's going to be doing that when he's 50, though, Jim.
Yeah.
To be fair.
So is Gascoigne.
Just him and Henry Winter tweeting each other.
Yeah, yeah.
But like him getting
endless,
back in the England
an
squad.
Endless sort of exchange until the internet blows up.
Oh, Arsenal.
Mm. Oh, God, it's just...
Another clean sheet?
Yeah, can we move on?
No, absolutely
tired.
Not.
I'm tired of them.
It's a clean sheet. You've got to take the positives.
It is a clean sheet. Yes.
I mean, Almunia nearly... Well, he did make a couple of errors, didn't he?
He did, yeah. I love it
how when he makes those errors, the camera...
Always goes to Jens, yeah.
Jens is undermining him. I know you said he's making those errors earlier in the season as well.
Yeah.
But I've seen Almunia play several times this season, and he's been how he is. But he's much worse now. Yeah. He's definitely worse now with Lehmann there.
Lehmann's probably like lying under his bed at night, whispering, "I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. This is your subconscious, my subconscious."
Put a pair of headphones on when he sleeps.
Oh, you've heard that story. Jens is
mental.
Yeah, well, that's confirmed. But is he trying to sue someone in Germany?
He sued him for €25,000.
The Werder Bremen keeper
saying that it belonged in the Muppet Show.
Yeah,
this is flagrantly untrue. That's just a very sort of German case of taking something literally, isn't it?
He'll get away with that. That's a fair comment.
Excellent stuff.
Well, you know that I didn't think the Nzonzi sending off was I think it was a bit harsh.
It looked really bad at first, didn't it? But on second look, it isn't as bad
Blackburn
as it looked.
Put in some challenges that game.
Yeah, they do, don't they? Nasri's head looked nasty. Like someone had stuffed a golf ball up under his scalp. Just awful.
It's a real Tom and Jerry one, wasn't it? Mm. You know that Arsenal's form since they lost the League Cup final. They've only won one game, and that was against Leighton Orient, isn't it?
No, it's woeful. And actually, Sami Nasri is one whose form has dipped dramatically. I mean, he would have been in line for Player of the Season earlier in the year, you would have been saying, but I can't see that now.
You've got to question the mentality of the players.
Well, absolutely. However often Wenger says, I think this team is strong enough mentally, it's just like, well, look at all the evidence that's quite dramatically implying otherwise. And it's season after season, it's an implicit problem at the club, and
you can't keep saying it. Walcott said it in the paper before the game. Oh, we're definitely going to win the league or whatever. We fancy ourselves for the league. Well, I don't mind if you fancy yourself for the league. A part of being a professional athlete, I imagine, is backing yourself.
Absolutely.
Then go and do it then.
Well, Shakespeare said, back thyself.
It's
one of those famous quotes, isn't it? I agree, but it's, as I've said earlier on in this very show, if you're a team that you're 4-0 up and you can't guarantee you're going to win, you haven't got the spine for it, and they haven't shored it up. Scalacci and Koscielny don't look comfortable together. There's a lot of sort
Scalacci's
of
done nothing since World Cup 90. Yeah. I don't know where he's come. I don't know how they've got him in.
Yeah, it's an odd choice. And Arshavin's
out of position as well.
Arshavin's been sort of misfiring for a long time. Rositsky just looks like just a shadow of the player he might have been. There's just a lot of dead wood in that squad. There's players like Danilson, Diaby. You think if they haven't stepped up now, they're not going to. You need to get rid of them. But at the same time, Arsenal are they don't have a lot of money, do they? It seems to be the case.
Like, so
I think Wenger's papering over a lot of cracks.
But has Nasri not done for Arshavin, though? Nasri's taken over his mantle, hasn't he? I mean, Arshavin seems like the sort of bloke who needs to be sort of centre stage all the time. And Arshavin's been farmed out wide quite a lot as well.
Yeah, but Arshavin was always playing out wide here.
Okay, fine.
He's not been the... I don't know if he's delivered at all, really, from what we kind of hoped he would have been when he joined, but...
There's
a lot of problems at Arsenal, it's fair to say.
So hopefully they'll get top four.
Well, I genuinely think Chelsea will pick them to second.
Do you?
I think Arsenal will finish third now.
Watch this space.
Yeah. Fulham beat Blackpool 3-0.
Get on to the real stuff about Fulham.
Beat 3-0.
Emphatic, wasn't it?
It was a bit of a thriller.
There we go. This is why we do the show.
It was good to see Zamora back.
Yeah, of course.
What a finish for the first
one. Great, wasn't it? And the second one was nice as well. Like, header with the back of his head.
Yeah.
I think it slightly came off the
first goal was explosive, though. The first goal reminded me of Brighton's Bobby Zamora back in the day, when he would just overpower players at that level. He did it at the Premier League level.
With that sort of run as well, and he made himself a lot of space, you've got ages to sort of make the wrong decision or fluff and he just didn't. It was absolutely clinical. And was it his second game back?
Yeah, I think it was
something like that.
His first full game back. Very generous of James Beattie to play him in now.
Yeah, it was good.
To be fair to James Beattie, I'm not someone who's particularly fond of being fair to James Beattie, but on this case I will. He gave the ball to Zamora and he did run like an absolute bastard to get back, and he was knackered at the end of the round, gutted. I thought he was going to fall down and start crying.
Poor old Beattie. Brilliant to see Zamora back and get him on the plane.
There is no plane at the moment.
There will be.
Yeah, there will be. Get him on there now so he doesn't get injured again.
Just reserve him a seat. It'll be cheaper now as well.
Yeah, exactly. And it's, you know, if you book ahead, as you say, the tickets are often cheaper. What else has been going on at Fulham? Oh, yes. Mm. A Michael Jackson statue has been erected.
Yeah, a lot of Fulham fans are furious about this.
Did you see the unveiling of it?
Yeah, it was incredible.
Is it the most embarrassing thing you've ever seen?
It's up there, isn't it? It's like, I'm not related to Mohamed El Fayed, but it felt like my uncle was embarrassing me at a strange wedding.
Did you see it, Luke?
Oh yeah, it's one of those things that's embarrassing to look at. Yeah. It's really, really hard to sort of pressure yourself into keeping on looking at it. Mm. That's what it was.
When he was in, it was kind of dancing, he kind of wasn't. It was like in this strange limbo between making a decision over whether to actually dance or not.
It was a granddad wedding dance. It was a granddad, I'm almost on the dance floor style dance, but I'm still walking a bit as well.
Yeah. Looks like it's made out of perspex as well, the statue.
Yeah, so it looks like a waxworks. I mean,
there was a kid there as well, wasn't there? Yeah. It looked to me like El Fayed was trying to get the kid to dance like Michael Jackson. Like he'd hired this like little mini Michael Jackson impersonator.
Yeah.
And the kid was just sort of looking at him and then just walked off.
Yeah, I mean, the strange thing about it is people obviously...
The strange thing about
one of the strange, many myriad strange things about it is that when he originally sort of commissioned the statue, he wanted to have it in Harrods, didn't he?
Yes.
But he then sold Harrods.
He did.
So he's just found himself in a position where he's just got a spare statue of one of his dead mates, which he then just decides to take down to Craven Cottage. I wouldn't want a statue of my dead mate. Why even commission it?
No, exactly.
I know he's one of the most famous men that's ever lived, but it's different if you knew him. You know, it changes the context massively.
Yeah. If one of you guys goes on to become one of the famous men ever, I will not be erecting a statue. That's the last thing I want. If anything, I want to get away from it. I want the talented famous mate you had. You know, I'm not interested. I don't want to talk about him.
Dearie me. I mean, it's words fail me.
It's amazing. You're gonna check it out.
I'm gonna go and check it out. But it's a crap statue.
It is a crap statue.
As I say, it looks like a waxwork.
Yeah.
And it's the worst statue since I went outside Southampton. That 4 foot tall one of Ted Thingy or Bertie Wooster, whatever. I can't remember.
Oh, really? <Yeah. laughs>
Do you remember that one?
Yeah.
Oh, what was his name? I think it was Ted something.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there's too much detail and too much. It's not a statue.
He's holding a microphone. Isn't
yeah. But when he was dancing and Alfire was thinking about miming.
Why has Alfire got a microphone?
He was thinking about miming, wasn't he?
Comparing, wasn't he? I think.
Yeah. But oh my goodness.
There's a weird. Another weird thing, one of the many weird things about it, is, like, even in a year's time, it's just been normal. I mean, it's just been one of those things you forget about. You'll go to Craven Cottage, whatever, and think, is that a statue of... Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Like, new generations of kids every year be going, Dad, who is that?
What position did he play?
Exactly.
Right on Wikipedia. Yeah. Are they going to have, like, a statue of, like, Damon Duff at Motown Records?
I hope so. I sincerely hope so. Well, I said before that... You know, he came down in 99, I think, to watch Fulham versus Wigan or something. Diego's been there. Let's get a statue of him on.
Yeah, indeed.
As soon as Alfayed ceases to become owner of Fulham, which is going to happen because he's old, that statue is just going to be taken down. Yeah. And that'll be a great PR move for the new person.
Definitely.
Yeah. That statue of Michael Jackson you hated, I'm tearing it down.
Yeah.
And I'm
putting
a statue of Johnny Haynes on or something. Someone who's actually been
Well, Haynes is already a statue, of course.
He's got a stand, hasn't he? Has he got a statue?
No, he's got a statue,
Oh, is he? Okay. How many statues do they want?
This is the thing. It's just down from the Johnny Haynes statue. The Johnny Haynes statue. Now, okay, Alfie's
put that a Johnny Haynes stand. Sorry, I didn't realise.
The thing about the Johnny Haynes statue is that it was... Now, Alfie's put a lot of money into the club. We must say that.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean to say he can then just do what he wants like that.
Well, but, apparently it does.
Oh, okay.
Like, Abramovich, he'll buy you a player. Yeah, you won't put a statue of him in... Bill Gates up, you know.
But the Johnny Haynes statue was funded by the supporters, I think.
Yeah.
Mm. And it was only put up a few years ago. Now, he's a Fulham legend.
Yeah. But, I mean, as well, Alfayed's been really defensive about it, isn't he? He said any fans that don't like it can go to hell. He doesn't
or
want
Chelsea.
Fans like...
Yeah,
or
Chelsea.
Exactly. If you're the,
I'll take my chances.
If you're the chairman of Fulham, you don't want to be encouraging fans to go to Chelsea. Do you know what I mean?
Go to hell.
Anywhere
else.
Anywhere else.
Where Michael Jackson is. Almost certainly.
Allegedly. Don't need to say that.
No. I think we're covered on that.
Yeah. Well, let's move on quickly. Chelsea won all the way to Stoke.
Mm. Lackluster.
Yeah.
David Luiz got a bit phoned out.
He did, didn't he? Mm. What about
Stoke are a difficult proposition at home, though, for anybody. Absolutely anybody.
What a great goal from Stoke, though.
Yeah,
John
it was.
Walters. Fabulously taken.
Slaloming run, you might call it.
But again, another 2 points dropped there.
Mm.
Manchester United
rubbing
their Fergie-like hands together.
Just laughing all the way to the title, I would imagine they are. Just by
We've
being...
We've not even played well!
We're competent at best!
Yeah. We've won this title by just not making any mistakes.
Yeah. No, I mean, to be fair to United, people do keep saying that, but yesterday they were 2-0 down and they won 4-2. And they're grinding out wins and they're sort of winning from losing positions. So they've been better than people make out, but still quite unspectacular.
Oh, yeah. Also... Roy the Boy got his revenge on Liverpool.
Yeah, that makes up for all of it, doesn't it?
Yeah!
West Brom 2, Liverpool 1.
It's a classic Hollywood tale of revenge.
Is that right? Yeah. What a penalty to win it.
Yeah, it was great, wasn't it?
Thumper. I love Rayner's protest. You know when a decision goes against them and they go mad and you think, well, maybe actually the player might be right here because he's going that crazy.
Definite pen.
Yeah.
Oh God, yeah, just almost the definition of a penalty.
Yeah,
just,
you can't not get the ball and take the opposing player's legs away.
And that is literally the rule.
Yeah. And that's what happened.
Maybe that's what he was questioning.
I love it when
I don't like this rule. Change it now.
Yeah. Now's the perfect time to change
it. I was just giving you an example of how rubbish this rule is. we know when you see that it's Chris Brunt who took the penalty, wasn't it?
It was.
And you see, like, obviously you're used to seeing the ball getting kicked hard in football because you watch it all the time, but then someone hits it like that and you're bloody hell.
Yeah. It's like one of those ones where it happens in real life and you hear it coming towards you.
Oh, yeah.
Fizzing through the air.
Yeah.
Fizzle. Right then, in League One, Brighton are running away with the title.
Oh, undefeated at home. Eight. Playing lovely football as well.
They've won 8 out of the last 9 and because they drew away to Rochdale on the weekend. Mm. Kicking ass. New stadium being built currently.
Gus Poyet at the helm.
Yeah, doing really well, isn't he? Very, very well liked.
I think he
nice
seems like an affable chap
as well.
Oh, Poyet's a likeable chap.
But we could have a situation where not many people would care about this, but I do, so I'm going to say it anyway. And where we have Southampton, Bournemouth, Brighton and Portsmouth all in the same division next season.
Oh, a few people should care about that.
Yeah, well, I think a few people do, and that's the problem. Yeah. Only a few.
A few people cared about the big score in League 2, though. Crewe 8, Cheltenham 1.
God, there's a bloody 1920s result.
Do your big scores.
Big scores are back, bully.
That's what you want, isn't it?
That was
give the people what they want.
I always think of whenever you say that. I always think of sort of young kids there with their dad with flat caps waving them,
and smoking pipes,
and a white horse on the pitch.
Well, the final,
yeah, like the famous final,
the white horse final, and a rattle, maybe a rattle.
Yeah,
but we apparently we missed a few.
Nobody
players.
Leaving early.
No,
even though they blatantly will have done.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But we.
What did we do?
But you couldn't get out. There's so many people watching.
Yeah, I don't for a moment believe that in like the 70s there wasn't some gruff Yorkshireman watching his team lose 4-0. We thought I'm going to leave 5 minutes early and beat traffic.
The commentary wasn't like that in the 70s. The commentary you just did was like the 20s.
No, I'm jumping from different eras of when people apparently didn't leave before
Doctor
the final whistle.
He's time travelling, isn't he?
Yeah, I'll time travel if I want. I'm like, fired.
The reason that people couldn't leave early back in the sort of 30s is because there were so many people. Every single game had 150,000. People in it, and they're all wedged
and that was
in.
Just the away support.
Yeah, and they couldn't get out. That's why. But we know Crewe because Crewe won 8-1, and we mentioned some Crewe players that had come through under Dario Gradi on the show last week, I think.
Yeah.
And we missed out some players, and we missed out the legendary Robbie Savage.
Oh, did
he came through there apparently as well. Yeah,
with his wonders of the universe.
Mm.
The Johnson's Paint Trophy final was won by Carlisle against Brentford. Lovely goal. Beautiful little death.
Talk us through it. I didn't see the game, unfortunately.
Well, it was the ball came in. I think he, what was it? Was it a chest or a touch? And just a little deft volley into the corner.
Paintbrush, was it? Paintbrush. Little paintbrush stroke.
Relevant.
Deft volley is nice.
Yeah. So well done to Carlisle. Now then, in the SPL, there was the big Edinburgh derby.
Mm.
Hibs 2, Hearts 2. Hearts, I think they've stretched their unbeaten run against Hibs. To 7 games. I remember they were
on their way to an inevitable SPL title.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. How
is your title surge?
Right, I'll tell you what, James, you're never going to believe this. Rangers 2, Dundee United 3.
Oh, God.
David, Goodwillie with the goal. We were talking about Goodwillie the other week.
So
he
if
got the
Hearts
winner.
Win like another 70 games this season, then they're in with a chance.
It's taken an extraordinary twist because now it's a 4-horse race. Dundee United, they're in it. It's
really?
Incredible, yeah, absolutely.
You know that I saw that game and the Dundee United's second goal, did you see it? The ball in from the left.
Mm.
That I forget who scored that, but that was one of the best passes I've ever seen. Bar none. He's absolutely
smashed
it. He'll
want that in
writing. Whipped it round. It was a ball from about 40 yards out on the touchline, 45.
Yeah.
And I've never seen so much bend on a cross. And it landed right on his head. Anyone in this room could have scored it just by standing there. It would have gone perfectly off the angle off your head into the goal. It was amazing.
Yeah.
It's a great goal. And Goodwillie's winner was the most extreme example of Rangers pushing for a winner I've ever seen as well. Because...
was it the last minute?
They had like two or three players done the United, and they had, I would say, they started from about 15 yards inside their own half with no Rangers player between them and the goal. They had over half a pitch to run, two of them, and Goodwillie just dummied to pass, two against the keeper, and then just slot, and just hammered it in. But it was a game of extraordinary goals.
Mm. Extraordinary goals.
I mean, Goodwillie's been linked with a move to Rangers, hasn't he? Which means he'll almost certainly get it now.
I hope he doesn't.
We're not having this anymore. Sign him. Put him in the reserves.
Yeah. But yeah, it's extraordinary. The Edinburgh Tigers, as I say, 2-2. Hearts were down to 10 men. Mm. So a good point there. Right, let's move on to La Liga, shall we, chaps?
It's nice there. It's warmer, for one thing.
Oh, 9 years ago, an extraordinary run began. 151-game unbeaten home record.
In the league.
For Mourinho. And,
in the league.
In the league. And it's lost. It's gone.
Oh.
Sporting Gijón. They beat Real Madrid at home 1-0.
They did, didn't they?
I saw a bit
of that game as
I'm
well.
A bit
Madrid
annoyed.
Looked very just flat.
I'm a bit annoyed because I was hoping, as I'm sure a lot of people were, and expecting, that when Barcelona went there, that would have been for the league and
smashing the record.
To beat Mourinho's record. You know, that would have been one of the big things. And now, the league, as Mourinho said, is pretty much impossible. The record's gone.
Mourinho, it's really interesting how...
Daft little grounds.
it's really interesting how the force of Mourinho's reputation and personality carries him, because although they've done okay, it's the first game. Haven't they won every single game at home this season? So he's not done badly by any stretch.
God, no, that's amazing.
But
I believe Bernd Schuster got sacked for saying that it's impossible to win at the Nou Camp. He got sacked just for saying that.
Yeah.
So Mourinho said that it was impossible to win the league. Mm. Any other sort of in quotes mortal manager would be for the chop for that, I'm sure. Yeah.
But as you said, you know, if they do sack Mourinho, where do they go?
Exactly. There is talk of it happening, though, isn't there? As always happens in Madrid, I think we could probably start a legitimate rumour saying they were going to sack anybody, you know, just because they're such a kind of tumultuous club. But I mean, is Jose going to be happy with the sort of the interference that's happening all the time?
It's annoying him, and he's not got a good rapport with the Spanish press as well he did with the English and the Italian press.
The Italian press didn't like him either.
I thought that as well. But when I was in Madrid, I was chatting to a guy, an Italian fella, and he said actually it wasn't quite like that. They had
it was the rest of Italian football didn't like him.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
But Mourinho, if you look at that game, Mourinho is not getting on with the press, as you say.
Valdano.
He's not getting on with Valdano, and he hates Preciado as well, the manager of Gijón who beat him.
Yeah.
I don't think they get on very well at all anyway. And his press conference, I think, was either today or yesterday.
He was in a bad mood.
He was in a terrible mood. he didn't even look like it was a show as well.
No.
He was putting a front on it. It actually looked like he was genuinely fed up with it all.
He doesn't look like he's having a good time.
No.
Absolutely. Preciado, earlier in the season when Madrid won in Gijón, he accused them of fielding a weakened team against Barcelona. And then Preciado slagged off Mourinho, and so there was no love lost. But to Mourinho's credit, apparently he did go into the away dressing room after the game and said well done and congratulated them.
Yeah.
Maybe even shook all the players by hand.
I think the one ace Jose might have up his sleeve is his ability to get the best out of teams in the Champions League. And obviously it's been 7 years since Madrid have got to the quarterfinals.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
well, he's done that much at least.
Yeah.
You know?
Who do they face in the semi if they get through?
Well,
it could be 5 El Clasicos in one season.
Get it, keep going, I'm almost there.
you've got the Copa del Rey.
Imagine if that happened and Barcelona won all of them. Not even unfeasible.
Again, imagine if Fernando Torres never scores again. That's my current imagine.
Imagine if Pete never returned.
Yeah.
In Serie A, Milan won 3-0 against Inter.
I know, yeah. It's almost like, you know, Inter have done their best to just surge back up the league to catch Milan and go, oh, it's a bit tortoise in the hair. And Milan have just gone, no!
Yeah. And Napoli have gone, no!
Yeah. Know your place.
Yeah. Stay there.
Oh, dear. Pato with a couple of goals.
He scored the first minute.
You did, yeah. I tell you what, Van Bommel had a good game. He looked pretty solid.
Milan need a scumbag.
Yeah. They do. Well, they've got another one.
Berlusconi's not enough.
A ridiculous cameo at the end from Cassano. Comes on, he scores a penalty, he takes his shirt off and starts celebrating and going mad, you know, because as one would if you score a goal in the Milan derby to seal the game.
And we're mad to start with.
Yeah. And then in injury time, they're 3-0 up in injury time. Cordoba, who's just come on, just plays that he kicks him for no reason and gets sent off. There's nothing logical.
He just wants... He's got his eye on a couple of... Like a day off somewhere down the line. You know, he doesn't want to play the next game, so he's just done that.
On the stream, I watched this game on. I can't translate the commentary, but they kept... When Cassano came on... I don't like his hair, by the way. His hair looks rubbish now. He needs to get rid of it.
He's his own man. He can have his own
hair.
Well, he looks like Christian Slater's rough brother.
Yeah, Christian Slater, if he was like in the sort of Sopranos, the Cassanos, perhaps.
Yeah, that would be progress.
But anyway, every time he did something, when he scored and took a shot, all that sort of stuff, when he got sent off, they kept cutting to a blonde woman in the crowd. I don't know if she was famous.
No, I saw that.
Was there not two of them?
Yeah, he's focusing on one in particular, I thought. I was just wondering if you knew who she was, but obviously not.
His next victim.
Yeah, like
victim.
Potential target.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the press are now pairing.
They're
him
just on his side now. They're doing it for
they
him.
They sometimes just cut to like a pastry.
Yeah,
that's his next victim.
He's getting the scandals in early by asking them to set them up themselves.
They're trying to predict it,
and then he just goes, "You only got yourself to blame."
To the woman.
Yeah, very much so. That was a fantastic game involving the team who are still in the title race.
Yeah, very much so.
Napoli 4, Lazio 3.
What a game that was.
Yeah.
And scorching sunlight as well. Beautiful.
Did Cavani swear at the camera when he completed his hat-trick?
He was mobbed, wasn't he? I imagine there might have been an expletive in there.
The goal of the game was Mauri's opener for Lazio. Mm. I've never seen a finish like that. Well, it's almost like he didn't try to kick it hard. He didn't take any backlift. And he just sort of almost steered it around the keeper. So he's like a real P-roller.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it had gone in. I thought, why is the keeper not... What? I thought it was going miles wide. Yeah. And it curled in. It was a beautiful finish.
Like a remote-controlled ball or something.
But you know, we always talk about how in Italy, clubs loan players out very readily.
Yes. Well,
Cavani's on loan. Cavani's on loan from Palermo.
Kevin Prince Boateng.
Exactly. And Cavani's got 32 goals in all competitions. Is anyone else had a better debut season?
You know, indeed, he broke Napoli's scoring record, didn't he, for goals in a single season?
Yeah.
I think his first goal broke that record. Yeah. And for those of you that didn't see the game, Lazio went 2-0 up, and then Napoli, I think they got two goals in 2 minutes, wasn't it? Mm. And Lazio scored again very, very quickly. Mm. Had a man sent off when they conceded a penalty, which Cavani scored, and then got mobbed, and then Cavani scored again late on with this really great little lob over the goalkeeper. He got a hand to it, but it wasn't enough, and it just bounced into the net, and it was just chaos.
I think the keeper should have probably saved that. And Lazio's goal was an own goal, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Yes. All
had everything.
Stuff,
was
anyway.
Great.
Yeah.
I don't know why people... You could argue that the quality of player isn't as good in Italy, but the league has seems been excellent.
It's been brilliant, yeah.
We're always defending Serie A.
Yeah.
As men of the 90s.
Yeah.
Oh, in Portugal, the league is won.
Yeah.
By Porto.
Wrapped
beating
up.
Benfica. What a way to do it.
Two penalties in that game as well.
Yeah.
Who scored a penalty in that game for Benfica? Saviola.
Ah.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. It's a good pen as well.
Making his 50th start of his career.
Yeah, no, I checked this out earlier because I knew you were going to say this. I think he has played something like 400 games.
Right, still though.
Oh, he's 29 and he's got some talent on him, and he's played for Barca and Real Madrid.
I just find that staggering. He's
at Monaco as well, I think.
He played for Monaco. But one of the things about the Portuguese league is if you look at it on paper, you know Porto have won the league in the first week of April. That's outrageous. But I mean, they only have 16 teams in their league. They only play 30 games.
Is it five games left?
I think they're unbeaten as well, Porto.
Yeah.
They've only dropped 4 points all season. They've won 23 and drawn 2.
Incredible.
There's an incredible effect, something like that, in the history of the Portuguese league, only 5 teams have won it.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that would make sense. I mean, this is the same Porto side where... someone chucked a chicken on the pitch and loads of people like ran around like in a Benny Hill style failing to catch it earlier.
Oh, yeah.
I love that, you know, that's the champions.
Chicken was
league.
Alive.
Yeah.
Imagine that happening at Old Trafford.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
Kevin Nolan.
Yeah. True. But VS Boas, his name is, isn't he, the coach? He sort of worked under Mourinho at Porto, Chelsea and Inter, and he obviously has picked a lot up from him. They're saying that he's creating a similar sort of siege mentality at Porto, and apparently he wants to stay there as well. They're hotly tipped to win Europa League as well. It's interesting.
Good times.
Mm.
And I think it's time for emails.
Mm. Some more good times.
Yeah.
Emails. Good.
Yeah, you up for that?
Yeah, Jim, you go first.
I'll do an email. Hello there, Ramblers.
Hello there.
Hello.
Oh, ho.
Ho.
I'm emailing because your profile a few months back on the Nacional v Peñarol derby in Montevideo piqued my interest in Uruguay's club football.
As it should.
Our favourite derby.
Indeed. I was in the neighbourhood, South America, so I thought I might as well catch a game. And even though I didn't manage to catch a derby, I can tell you that the rivalry is still there.
Quality.
When I arrived at my hostel and asked about buying tickets to the Peñarol Libertadores game later in the week, the guy who owns the hostel was distraught. After bad-mouthing their fans and suggesting I should only go if I'd had a rabies jab... He promptly invited me to a National League game that very night.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Within an hour, he was driving me to the stadium to get tickets and to show me the museum.
Imagine that happening in England.
The museum.
Mm. Yeah. Well, they have museums in stadiums and in a lot of places like that, don't they? Even though their stadium is a bit of a shithole, he told me about how it hosted the first ever World Cup game and how the common fan is working together to get funds to improve the stadium. He compared it to those bastards at Peñarol who don't even have a home and are tenants at the council's, I must add, truly superb, Centenario Stadium, I think that's pronounced, which was the venue of the first World Cup final. He showed me the ridiculous trophy cabinet, explained about the club legends such as a lad who played way back without having any hands, and another captain...
a lot of keeper.
Yeah, who when he was on the decline and about to lose his place to the youth side, snuck into the stadium one night and shot himself, leaving a note about how his family is set for life and the team doesn't need him anymore, so it was time to go.
Flipping Laura.
Yeah. I wonder if that's true. The lad taking me to the game was from a line of Nacional fans. His granddad has been advised by the doctor not to go to games because he's likely to die of a heart attack if he goes. And the lad himself, while watching some final against Peñarol, literally, Richard, burst a lung and had to stay in hospital for 3 days and ended up missing the replay. Probably the worst thing about it for him, I would imagine.
Yeah, yeah.
He was working overtime to win me over to the team. Anyway, the game came and it seems his powers of persuasion worked, won 5-2. The opponents were a small team and very crap, but it was a good game with a classic South American highlight of the captain of Nacional being told by the referee to ask the fans to stop climbing the fence around the perimeter of the pitch before he could take a penalty.
I like how he asks them, he doesn't tell them.
I know, yeah, just can you sort this out, sort of thing. All the Nacional fans swearing vitriolically and spitting at the away fans, who were literally made up of a couple of scared girls and an old man who seemed to be short of a few bob upstairs. You can't avoid football here, and the passion is obvious. Even the Wi-Fi password at the hostel is Uruguay 1950.
Oh, that's a nice touch.
Brilliant, isn't it? So, yeah, that's from Matt Ovens. Thank you very much, Matt.
Thanks for that, Matt. That was incredible.
A delightful insight into the minds, hearts and minds.
We get regular updates from that derby, and it's always something new and deranged.
Yeah.
Great.
Oh, shall I do one? If Pete's not here,
If you wouldn't mind.
I'll fill in. Rambleforce Ho. This is from Jack Waterston. He says,
I thought you were going to say Jack Warner.
No.
Stop this. Stop what you are saying about me.
He says, good day, gentlemen. I thought I would tell you about my rather uncomfortable meeting with Aberdeen FC legend Willie Miller. Centre-back of some repute. It must have been 2008, and I, along with about 20 others, won the opportunity to ask the Aberdeen board and management any question we wanted at a selected fans forum. After the Q&A, we were invited for food, drinks and a bit of chat. Knowing that Willie Miller knew my mum through some charity work, I thought I'd use this to break the ice. Hello, Willie. You know my mum. Really? Who is she? Wilma Waterston. Oh, Wilma. You're her son. Poor woman.
Straight off the bat.
I never met him before.
Rude, might say.
I was embarrassed. I panicked. I was not expecting this aggressive form of Glasgow banter.
No.
I tried quickly to change the topic of conversation. I'm from Old Meldrum. You were there recently for a funeral, weren't you? He says, aye, Gordon Campbell. Very sad.
He's not giving anything away, is he?
No.
An uncomfortable silence ensued. I crawled back to my table, red-faced and humiliated. My friend asked me how it went. Well, he remembered my mum, I said. I conveniently missed out the part where I talked about his dead friend by accident. Turns out talking about people dying at social events kills the atmosphere. Who would have known? Jack Waterston.
That's a piece of advice for us all, I think.
And an inappropriate thing to do would, of course, have a statue of your dead friend and leave it at work.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for that, Jack.
Thanks, Jack.
Mm.
Good people, it's profile time.
Ooh, can I still listen?
You're one of them.
Oh, good.
This makes me feel bad because this is Pete's favourite and he's not here.
Yeah, that's a shame.
Hopefully he'll hear it.
Oh, it's the Newcastle team of the 90s.
With specific emphasis on Les Ferdinand.
Again.
Yeah, why not? And then we're going to do Philippe Albert and then Timurik Expire and then Pete's
and
girlfriend.
And we're gonna profile, Jimmy Nail.
Profile every member.
Sting. Who's also Jamaican for some reason.
Yeah. It's not really, is it?
We're not doing half of them. No, we're not doing any of them. We're doing a man who you need to know. And he goes by the name of Paulino Alcantara. Now, this man is quite incredible.
Mm.
Legendary. Mm. And I'm going to tell you why. He was born on the 7th of October, 1896.
Yeah, that'll test me.
It took you
71 years before the Summer of Love.
Yeah.
You couldn't even imagine a Summer of Love happening at that point.
No.
Yeah. And neither could he. But I think he had something to do with it.
Yeah.
This man is one of the most talented players ever to come from Asia. He was born in the Philippines and had mixed parentage, Filipino and Spanish, and moved to Spain in 1910 when he was very young, of course. He would go on to become one of Barcelona's greatest ever players.
Mm. Which is unbelievable, really, because you never hear about him.
Heard of him.
He's by no means a household name in one of the biggest institutions in the sport.
Yeah.
Incredible, really. When he was a very, very, very young lad, he was playing for FC Galeno until Barcelona's founder, Joan Gamper, discovered him.
Yeah.
Which is quite a tout, really, isn't it? He became the first ever Asian player to play for a European football club.
I can't think of another Filipino player that I've ever even heard of.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's incredible. That early on as well.
Yeah, he made his first team debut for Barcelona in 1912 at the age of 15 and scored a hat-trick.
Wow.
That meant he still has the record. He's the youngest ever player for Barcelona and the youngest ever scorer for Barcelona.
Yeah, well, I mean, I doubt that will ever change now because of, like, law and things.
Yeah, yeah. I'm pretty sure that you do get players who debut very young. I mean, Andy Orford played for Pompey at his debut. I think he was 15.
Right.
I mean, maybe that's going back a bit, so maybe it won't happen now. Yeah. I'm not comparing him to Andy Orford, sorry. I shouldn't even breathe that man's name in the same.
You always get put to
it. Yeah, I know, sorry about that.
And so he had, initially, he had a 4-year spell with Barcelona. They won 2 Catalan championships and a Spanish Cup. Now, of course, this was when before you had La Liga and all.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then he returned to the Philippines in 1916. And played.
Not exactly a short hop back then, as well.
No, it's really not.
Ages, I mean, to get there.
God, it would be ridiculous, wouldn't it? Yeah. You'd have to get a steamboat. I would imagine. Yeah. I don't know. a hot air balloon.
He played for 2 years for Filipino club Bohemians. Whilst he was there, of course, they won 2 championships.
Games were longer then as well. as well as people starting younger.
In his absence, Barcelona didn't win anything.
No.
So he went back to Barcelona. Oh, sorry, I should say while he was there as well, he played for the Filipino national team in the Far East Championship Games in 1917.
Did they win it?
They finished second.
Okay.
They did beat Japan on the way, 15-2.
Big scores are relevant now.
That was before the 20s.
That sounded a bit more like a public announcement rather than...
Well, he got confused because he was thinking... I know, that was the
when
it,
is
right?
it? Oh, my time travelling Al Fayed reference from earlier is broken.
Yeah,
and never made sense then.
He wasn't just good at football; he also represented the Philippines at table tennis.
That used to be a lot more common, didn't it? Players playing sort of different sports.
Yeah.
Apparently, when you sort of at a certain age, when you're sort of first realising your sporting potential, the actual sport doesn't actually matter that much. Apparently,
well, that's why
I'm pretty sure I read that somewhere.
It doesn't happen anymore, and that's why I've not represented my country at a number of different sports.
Yeah. It's a shame. You've been overlooked. In 1918, he returned to Barcelona. Who was in charge of Barcelona at the time? It was
Bobby Robson.
It was Jack Greenwell.
Oh, nice.
He's in there as well.
Yeah.
And he, for some reason, Greenwell thought, I'll put him centre-back.
Oh, come on.
Obviously.
In his second spell?
Yeah.
After having scored all those goals, that's... an unusual choice,
isn't it? Just
unless they were just blessed with attacking talent,
but yeah, which wouldn't be unsurprising. I mean, he was at the time, and there was some great players at the club. I think Zamora, obviously not Bobby, and a few other big names from their past. But soon enough, Greenwell was like, "Yeah, we should really be playing him up front."
Yeah, he's scoring loads of goals still.
And in his second spell between 1919 and 1927, they won 12 trophies.
Yeah.
They cleaned up. Mm. It's time for a goal scoring record, I feel. Ladies and gentlemen. Ooh,
we like this bit. Little stats geeks that we are.
Now, he is Barcelona's all time record goal scorer.
Come on.
With 357 goals in 357 games.
Specific.
That satisfies the OCD in me.
Yeah, absolutely.
That just looks nice.
Would have liked him to have got 3 more in 3 different games, but, you know, what can you do?
Yeah. He played centre-back for some of them.
Yeah.
He did actually play for the Spanish national team a handful of games. He played 5 times for them, scored 6 goals.
Good.
It's a decent record. He got the nickname El Romperedes. Yeah. The net breaker. This was because in a game against France, he scored from about 30 yards out, literally ripped the net, Richard.
Wow. Did it?
Yeah.
It's because the balls were so heavy.
Yeah. Yeah. 30 yards, he's still got to kick the damn thing.
Nets were made of spiderwebs.
The balls then, my granddad, I was back home last weekend, and my granddad was treating me to a story about he used to play what they call centre half, right, which is sort of like midfield back then. And he said he maintains that he played a game once and the ball got wet and it came up and he had to header it and he got the wet ball with the laces right on his forehead. Yeah. He said he had a scab there for a month.
Oh my!
That's just one header. So imagine how hard you got to kick the ball to get it. Mind you, if it's heavier, it'll brighten it easier, I suppose.
Mm. Well, my great uncle he used to play for his local co-op team and used to use magazines as shin pads.
There you go.
Yeah. Nothing to do with net breaking. Just a little story.
Leg breaking.
My nan once got blown up in an ambulance in the war and she was all right. So
incredible.
Our relatives are hard, I think, is what we're saying here, isn't it?
Indeed. Which makes it all the more surprised how we turned out.
Indeed.
Incredible. Ripped the net. And apparently for years, many children in Spain would just try and do this. It was real sort of legendary stuff.
It's a great net. You'd be happy with that, isn't it? Definitely. If you're a striker.
But that was the moment which, if people do know who he is, or do even remember him, dare I say, that's the moment that they...
I mean, it's unlikely they're going to remember him now, isn't it?
Yeah, I'd have thought so. And while he was playing football, he also studied medicine. And when he finished, and when he retired from professional football, he
stitched the net back up.
He became a doctor, giving something back.
Yeah. Well, it's you had to do that back then, didn't you?
Yeah.
Because
you wouldn't have made
a lot of money as a footballer.
Right. Absolutely.
Indeed. He did coach the Spanish national team briefly in 1951 for 3 games, and they were unbeaten in all 3.
Why didn't he stay for longer then?
Well,
they had won the World Cup with it.
Yeah. but he did retire in 1927, obviously. But he was on the board of directors for Barcelona from 31 to 34. And he died in 1964, 3 years before the Summer of Love, at the age of 67. But just to recap here, boasts some incredible records. The first Asian player ever to play for a European club. Ripped the net with a shot from 30 yards out. Yeah. Barcelona's youngest ever player, youngest ever goal scorer, and the club's all-time leading scorer. And there's even a statue of him outside the Philippine Football Federation offices.
Which is an appropriate place for a statue. Yeah.
Exactly. And he's coming into the Dean Windows Hall of Fame.
Clap then.
I'm overawed.
He deserves it. Imagine him in the Dean Windass Hall of Fame Select 11. Imagine him and Fernando Perotti up front together.
Yeah. I can't.
Oh.
If statistics are true, which they usually are, that's statistics, they would score at least a goal each every game.
Mm. Yeah.
So you'd basically be, if you were playing against them, you'd basically give them at least a 2-goal head start every game.
Yeah. Bish Chan's on the bench.
Yeah.
Amazing.
So good,
great stuff. Yeah, welcome in, Alcantara.
Welcome in. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the end of the Football Ramble. If you'd like to get in touch with us, the email address is show@thefootballramble.com, and the website, thefootballramble.com, is where James or Jim does some of his work.
In the Ramble blog this week, I look at how society can recover from the swearing at the weekend. James Appel looks at the pressure Dick Advocaat is facing as Russia boss, while Rupert Fry gushes as young Neymar becomes a man. That sounds worse than it did when I wrote it. elsewhere, Steve Reynolds philosophises about what governs a referee's decision-making process as he takes charge of a game. Very, very interesting that. Go and have a look at that. And all of them, really. Chris Nee explains Nickel Ball, the style in which Steve Nichols' New England Revolution play their football. And Mikhail Zakodny explains how an ex-Playboy model may be the best thing that ever happened to Poland's Walter Poznan. So there you go. That's the Ramble blog. Check it out.
A very diverse selection of writing.
Indeed.
As there always is over it.
I'd say probably the most diverse football writing on the internet, but that's just me.
Yeah. I'd agree with you, Luke. Yeah.
Oh, you guys.
That's a wrap.
Luke, Pick Live?
Well, you can still play Pick Live.
Champions League this week.
It's Champions League, so Tuesday, you'd missed out by the time this comes out, but we can still play Wednesday night, and you can obviously play this weekend, 5-minute fantasy football. You've heard it by now, you know what it's all about, get yourself over there. If you were meaning to sign up and you haven't yet, thefootballramble.picklive.com, there's no catch, it's a lot of fun, and you can win some real money.
Indeed you can. And on Friday, there's Pete FC on the website.
But no Pete, so maybe it'll just be called FC.
Mm. Hopefully.
Friday Club.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll still turn up.
But you can get Ramble Extra. You Ramble Extra on there.
It's the only place you can get Ramble Extra. So don't go on iTunes, don't go over to the other websites you've had about it beyond before. It's the Football Ramble, and that's it. So make sure you go there on Friday, part of Pete FC, and it should be a lot of fun.
Us talking some nonsense forever, isn't it?
Yeah.
Which should be familiar to you,
a break from the serious nature of this show.
Yeah.
I think we've done it without Pete. Incredibly.
I feel dirty.
Sack him? Do we need him?
Yes, we need him.
Let's have a meeting now.
I've got to edit this now.
Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Come back, Pete.
And it's goodbye from me. We're all off to erect a statue of Pete at the Stadium of Light. Cheers. I've got a blow me nose.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.